RPN is not responsible for the views, actions, statements, or opinions of its guests, advertisers, or even its viewers. The information contained in this program is not to be confused with medical or legal advice. An appearance on this platform is not necessarily an endorsement, but as always, we encourage you to do your own research. Enjoy the show. Good evening, everyone. And, of course, welcome back to another exciting episode of Red Pill News Live. Today it's a very special edition because I am joined by a man that I think probably needs no introduction, but I'm going to do it anyways, General Michael Flynn. He's got a brand new documentary coming out about his life, the efforts that this deep state controlled apparatus has gone to try to destroy him, but fear not. Hasn't worked. It's not going to work. And I'm really, really excited to have a conversation with him today. If you guys want to check out the video, the film, the premiere is going to be in a couple of different places, the 5th and the 6th of April. I've passed out that information before, but you can go to the link in the description below. Click that link to flynnmovie.com/REF/RedPill78. You'll obviously be supporting the general, and you will be supporting the channel in a small way as well. And if you're going to be at the premiere, I hope that you'll come up and say hello to me, because I'll be there doing interviews and watching it for the very first time myself. If you've been hanging out in the chat, if you haven't yet, please do me a favor, hit the like button. I would also really appreciate it if you would share the show. Thank you very much to Just Duckies over there on pill.net. Says, much love. So glad to see an amazing person, an amazing patriot today. Thank you for joining, General Flynn. Thank you to Sean Joe, and thank you to Porpoiseful as well. So sit back, relax, grab your popcorn, and we're going to be right back after this. So recently, I've told you guys about a breakthrough new anti-aging remedy that I've been using that keeps me energized all day long. I just take a teaspoonful of C60 Evo olive oil in the morning, and I notice better mental focus, flexibility, and physical endurance. Now, it's rare to feel improvements this quickly. I also end up sleeping deeper at night, so it's really helpful. Their peptide and ESS60 hair and lotion renewal formulas are exceptional because they really work. And C60 Evo's lab has been manufacturing this Nobel Prize-winning miracle molecule for 32 years in their Houston, Texas, Patriot-owned lab. ESS60 is the upgraded version of the carbon-60 molecule. It's specifically made for both people and pets. It's a potent and effective way for people's lives to be improved all around the world. So maximize your health and enjoy noticeable results with C60 Evo organic edible oils, skin serums, and pet products. You can buy with confidence from C60 Evo, and you can use my personal code for a discount at checkout. Simply go to c60evo.com/redpill78. And then when you're there, use code redpill78 for an additional 10% off your entire order. Once again, that's c60evo.com/redpill78. And when you support my sponsors, you support this channel. All right, everyone, welcome back. Thank you so much to all of you for joining us today. And please join me in welcoming, for the very first time, General Michael Flynn to the program. General Flynn, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing great, Zach. Thank you. Thank you for getting me on here today. I really appreciate your audience, and I really appreciate all that you're doing for this country right now. So, such a crazy, crazy time.
Oh, yes.
I mean, it's just amazing, you know? So, I don't know which direction you want to go. I'm open for any conversation you want to have.
All right. So, I've definitely got a couple of topics I want to hit on. But first of all, the question I have always wanted to ask you, first and foremost, why were you so dangerous? Why were you such a threat to the Obama administration that one of the first methods of conversation Obama had with Trump was to try to make sure that you would not be joining the administration? And obviously, that didn't work. So then they had to work to destroy your life. That didn't work. And now it seems like they're still working to try to stop you from coming back.
Yeah. No. They'll continue to do that. I mean, one of the things as head of the Defense Intelligence Agency, and actually prior to that job, Zach, I had the role of I was at the director of national intelligence level. Okay, so I was the head of what they call partner engagement, which is responsible for all intelligence relationships overseas and here domestically, to include federal, state, local, and tribal, law enforcement. Right. Yep. So I had some pretty significant jobs. One of the other jobs that I had held was as the chief of Joint Special Operations Command Intelligence. And that's another pretty significant position. So during those years and especially my years overseas and definitely as the head of the Defense Intelligence Agency, one of the largest intel agencies in the world, I was privy to a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And going into the National Security Advisor position, you can go back. People can go back. You know, they'll talk all this grandiose stuff about Henry Kissinger and about, you know, Big New Brzezinski and all these other people that held that position. Nobody had my background going into the National Security Advisor's role. No one from the very beginning of it. So, you know, I don't pat myself on the back at all, ever. But I do understand what my experiences are, and I understand what I knew going into a job like that. So I was very, very well prepared. They knew that. And they knew that having me next to Donald Trump as the president of the United States, the National Security Advisor kind of runs over the top of the Defense Department, the intelligence community, and the State Department. And, you know, of course, you're there with the president of the United States. I mean, I was read into the entire nuclear program. So, I mean, I sat there with President Trump on my right as we went through and were briefed on everything to include the entirety of the nuclear program. So I understand, you know, where the bodies are buried, as they say, right? Mm-hmm. I understand where the budgets are. I understand where the money flows to. I understand the black programs. I understand the presidential findings going back as far back as presidential findings have been signed off on. And many of them are programs that no longer need to be around. They are spending billions and billions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole thing that we're involved in is, you know, when I talk about we have to end the endless wars. So this is one big racket. When we talk about the military-industrial complex, the security state complex, the censorship complex, all these things are things that I am very familiar with. And if you're in a position as the National Security Advisor and you know what you're doing, sadly, you know, I don't blame Trump for, you know, he took some responsibility, and he and I have had great conversations to include very recently, but the parties around him, both sides, okay, the uniparty, we call it, right?
Yep.
They're the ones that undermined him, and yes, they undermined him inside the White House, and they undermined him, of course, outside the White House. So I'm not going to sit here and you know, and I could have easily, you know, turned the whole thing against Trump, but I just knew that he walked into Washington, D.C., ready to change things.
Mm-hmm.
I stood up for him, ready to change things for the better for this country. And now we see, and now we know. I mean, it's no longer a conspiracy, or no longer what really happened. I mean, we know that the entirety of Russiagate was based on a lie that was promulgated by Hillary Clinton herself,
mm-hmm.
approved by Hillary Clinton, briefed to Barack Obama on the 3rd of August of 2016 by John Brennan. And then again, another group of people, I won't go through the whole litany because I do talk about it in the movie. I bring this out in spades in the movie. People can go to flynnmovie.com. The coup began on 5 January 2017 in the White House, in the Oval Office, with Obama leading the show. From that, a lot of things happen, right? I mean, yep. Susan Rice's very famous memo to self, cover her ass memo.
By the book.
I mean, so anyway, there's that, and there's a lot of other little bits and pieces that go with that. And as Tucker says in the movie, and I actually think he says it in the trailer too that I just put out, they had to get rid of Flynn. Because if they didn't, We'd have never had a Mueller investigation. We'd have never had all this nonsense. Nothing. They changed the course of history when they forced my removal from the White House. They really did. And I mean that. So even to today, because I said this to you off camera before we went live. So I just got a thing from NBC. NBC, right? NBC is going to do a really nasty article on me today because I said something about a black swan on my ex post this morning. And I talked about black swan this past week on the Benny Show, right? I mean, yep. You know, black swans are something that comes out of the, and I say this in my ex post, you know, it really comes out of the world of finance. These are unpredictable, unknowable events that happen, right? Unpredictable. I mean, nobody went to bed last night predicting that we were going to have what we have in Boston Harbor right now. No one. No one would even think about that. It was an unknowable event. It was an unpredictable event. Now, let's leap a few things here, Zach, because I think it's important for your audience because I pay attention to everything that's going on. It is absolutely outrageous right now. It's outrageous that the FBI has already come out with a statement and said that this is the FBI office in Baltimore. Apparently, they've come out with a statement and said this is not a terrorist incident. That's total bullshit. And excuse my Irish, but
you're fine.
Total bullshit.
Yeah.
For them to come out this quickly and make that statement, apparently the chief of police and even the Baltimore mayor have come out and said the exact same thing. And we know the Baltimore mayor is running for, I think he's running for governor of Maryland. I mean, it's too early to tell. There's still bodies that they don't even know if they've recovered everybody yet. You know, that may have driven cars off the bridge. And we know of at least six bridge workers that possibly lost their lives. So, I mean, we haven't even hit the 24-hour mark and they're already making that statement. Something's not right with that. When somebody comes out with a statement like that, that quickly with such a monumental, event incident, right? This is not a small thing. In order to do the investigation that's going to be required to find out and get to the bottom of this thing, I mean, it was clear when they flew planes into the Twin Towers because guys got on planes. You could see the guys in the videos getting on the damn planes. You know, you heard all the, you know, they got the evidence right away. And we knew, but it still actually took a little bit to confirm exactly who these characters were. Now, you know, maybe it was an accident. Maybe. I'm not calling it an accident. This is an incident that occurred in one of the most critical, one of the most vital national security waterways that we have, certainly on the East Coast, you know, from Baltimore, Philly, Washington, D.C., Norfolk, Newport News, Virginia. That stretch of harbors and bays are critical. Mm-hmm. They're vital national waterways for not only commerce, which they, you know, they report right away. It's a commercial vessel, Singapore flag vessel, apparently, you know, that carried cars or something. Who knows? Who knows what it was carrying? But that particular waterway, there's an awful lot of military operations up in that part of that waterway as well. So it's tragic that they're calling this already. Oh, this is not a terrorist incident. We don't know that. Nobody knows that. Nobody knows that. We don't really know what's happened. And these type of events, when I look back and let's take a couple of data points, global strategic data points, and put them together. You know, the Russians came out in the last 24 hours and said the United Kingdom and the United States are responsible, directly responsible for the terrorist attack in Moscow at that concert.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen anything that they've put out other than that statement, the head of their security services, the FSB. So we'll see. For Russia to say that in a time of war that we are in right now, where the discussion of nuclear weapons has already been placed on the table, not so much by Russia, but by NATO and by our own White House,
mm-hmm.
you know, a few months back. So for Russia to say that and what we already know about the Nord Stream pipeline. So let's put that into a canister and leave it right here for a second. Yesterday in the United Nations, there was a vote about the situation in the Middle East, you know, between Israel and Gaza Strip, right? And the United States, for the second time, abstained on a vote in favor of Israel. They abstained, which essentially means we don't support Israel anymore. Now, I don't care what people think or your audience thinks about whether they're pro-Israel or not, pro-Hamas. Hamas is a terrorist organization. So, you know, if somebody wants to argue with me about being pro-Hamas, they need to go live in the Middle East. You know, Hezbollah is another one, the Houthi rebels. So what you think about Israel or what you think about the Jewish community, right now that vote, that abstention by the United States of America will now cause Israel to go into survival mode, not just a war fighting posture where they're going to conduct offensive operations into the Gaza Strip. It's different. And I've said this, that the piece of geography called Israel will never go away. It'll be there forever. It's been there for 1,000 years. It'll stay 1,000 years. The state of Israel is now in a survival mode because what they just learned from this administration, that this administration does not have their back. So Eastern Europe and what I just laid out, this terrorist attack in Russia, and now they're blaming the United States of America, the abstention by the United States at the United Nations against Israel, and the entirety of what is unfolding or unraveling in the Middle East, China and what China has been. So nobody's even paying the administration is not going to talk about what China's doing out in the Pacific right now. And what the Chinese are doing out in the Pacific right now, they get all kinds of military actions that they're taking that nobody's even paying attention to. Because why? Because the Chinese have this administration by the you know what. And then we have the situation on our southern border. Well, that it's no longer just on our southern border. We have upwards of 10 to 15 million new members of the American, you know, fabric, right? Illegals, this invasion. So just in the last 3 years, and what we know is that about 100,000 of them are Chinese military age men,
right,
that have come into this country. So an infantry division in the United States Army has roughly about 10,000 men, 10,000 soldiers, right? So if there's 100,000 military age men that are Chinese in this country, there's 10 divisions. Now, what the hell are they doing? Where are they at? What are they up to? Who's keeping track on them? That's just 100,000. Okay. I mean, there's, let's just say 10 million illegals that have come into this country in the last 3 years. So when you bring all these things together, you know, and for your audience, you know, these are the issues that a guy like me, I mean, this is my life, right? This has been my life. National security, foreign policy, domestic operations that we have for our law enforcement. These are all the things that I have spent my life doing. And why did I get to the highest levels of our military, particularly our military intelligence? And why did I get in our intelligence community? And why did I get picked to be national security advisor for the United States of America by a duly elected president, Donald J. Trump, to do these jobs? Because these are the kinds of things that I pay attention to. And by the way, you know, a few years or during that period of time with Trump, I had exceptional relationships with people overseas, you know, very good relationships with people overseas, princes, kings, monarchs, intel chiefs, you know, prime ministers, ambassadors. And yet they were going to put me in prison for life for talking to an ambassador on a very good phone call where I kept us, the United States of America and Russia, from going to war. All right. That's evidence. That's not me making it up, patting myself on the frickin' back. That's evidence that we now have and that came out from my case. And people still sit there and just attack because, frankly, there are a lot of people out there right now that are I would say they're not just on the other side, Zach. We have a shift in our country right now where we have a much larger body of socialists in this country than I think people really recognize.
Oh yes,
and I'll shut up here in a second and mention one one thing when President Trump was the president, he gave a State of the Union speech. And I think the time frame was 2018, but it was, I think it was his second State of the Union speech. It was the State of the Union speech where Nancy Pelosi did the very famous tearing it up, right?
Oh, yes.
She tore up his speech while, you know, after the thing was over. Just an incredible level of arrogance. Well, during that State of the Union speech, he said to members, to the Congress, to everybody that was listening and to the world, that America will never be a socialist nation. Well, for a president of the United States to have to say that, to feel inclined to have to say that during a State of the Union speech, that's pretty damning of where he thought we were. And he was the president at the time. But the other remarkable thing about that comment is that when he made that comment, only about half the Congress stood up and clapped, right? The right, the GOP, the Republicans, the conservatives, they all stood up and they gave him a big standing O. The other side of the aisle didn't. There was a lot of people sitting on their hands. And as I watched that, and that's 20, I think it was 2018. As I watched that, Zach, I'm looking at that, and I'm in the middle of my persecution at the time, and I'm saying to myself, oh my God, the American people don't get it. Mm-hmm. We are in a really tough spot here. And boy, if we don't get through, you know, the next couple of years here, and that's when Russiagate was at its height. And I do want people to go see this movie because it's a raw description and a raw depiction of the truth. And I talk about things in there that I've never talked about on podcasts. I haven't written about. There will be some things in there that we'll talk about and describe some of the people and some of the incidents that I experienced that people are going to go, holy crap, man. I didn't know that. I didn't realize that. And this is not just for, you know, the MAGA crowd or for the people that are going to support Donald Trump. This is actually for every single American that believes in this country and believes in freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Because our freedom is at risk. Our rights are at risk. And there's a very small body of people that are trying to steal these in the middle of the night. And they're overseas doing a whole bunch of things to distract us and to really keep us from paying attention to what they're doing. Because what they're doing on a daily basis is they are intentionally, purposely destroying this country. And if NBC wants to take that quote and put it into their shitty article, be my guest, okay? Because that's the mainstream media. They're not in the business of journalism. They're not in the business of telling the truth. They're in the business of trying to entertain us with their bullshit. So, you know, excuse me. I'm on one of those places today in one of those circadian, you know, rhythms of life, right?
Yes.
I'm in one of those days today where I've had a lot on my plate. And I get up early this morning because of what was happening. I, you know, got on the phone with a bunch of different people to kind of go, hey, are we under attack again? I don't know that. The FBI doesn't know that. The chief of police of Baltimore doesn't know that. There's a security force for Baltimore Harbor. I mean, you know, there's a lot of stuff going around on the internet. The internet is a dangerous place. So you got to really dig and research and you got to connect dots. You've got to be like I do sometimes. I look at scenarios. You know, like the election in 2024,
mm-hmm.
you know, will we have a fair election? I don't know, but that's a scenario.
Right.
Will we have an election that's rigged again? I don't know, but that's a scenario. The chances of having a rigged election again are pretty high,
mm-hmm.
but that's only a scenario. Is there a scenario that we might not have an election? You're damn right there is. So I'm one of these guys that thinks about different paths that have to be considered, right? Options.
Mm-hmm.
What is an option that the enemy has? What are the options that we have? What are the consequences of this action? What are the consequences of the second and third and fourth and fifth and sixth order effects of some action like this bridge or like the terrorist attack or like the abstention at the UN for this vote for Israel or what the Chinese are doing? Most people aren't even paying attention to the goddamn Panama Canal, except for great journalists like Ben Berquam and Michael Yon and Ann Vandersteel, who have been reporting on the Panama Canal.
Mm-hmm. 70%
of commercial traffic that goes to the United States of America goes through the Panama Canal. Imagine if the Chinese own the Panama Canal. Well, it's getting damn close to that. Okay. So we got a lot of problems right now, and we have the worst leaders in charge of our country. And that's why, you know, God help us. I want people to go and vote. So, you know, so what's the solution? Let's not have 40% turnout. Let's not have 65% turnout. Let's have like 90, 95% turnout. Cause I do understand that on voting day, some people might be sick. Or if you get a paper ballot, you know, you get a paper ballot in the mail and it comes in the mail, do something with it. Mm-hmm. Don't just go, ah, this is bullshit. I don't get involved in politics. No, the price of a loaf of bread, the price of a gallon of milk, the cost of a gallon of gas, folks, is politics, has everything to do with politics. And I'll get off my high horse here because I know we got a little bit of time here. What other questions do you got, Zach?
Well, to be frank, General Flynn, we can go as long as you're willing to, but I don't want to infringe upon too much of your time. So let me say this. I think you're spot on with everything you said there. We are at an unprecedented time in history since Joe Biden walked into Washington, D.C. to take residency at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. It's been one thing after another. And you know, it is a little daunting because, you know, people like us, we look around, we see each and every one of these things, and every one of them on their own could be enough to destroy the country. You get all of them together all at the same time, and it seems to create this perfect storm. You know, getting back to the Baltimore issue, do you think it's any coincidence that the brand new FBI special agent in charge was just sworn in yesterday? And now today already they're saying it's not a terrorist attack. I totally agree with you. It's bullshit. There's no way that they could know that yet.
Right. Don't make fools of us. I want the federal government to stop making fools out of the American people. We are not fools. You know, we have good God-given common sense. And, you know, when I see, cause you're right. You are absolutely right. That just the sheer magnitude of the number of things that are going on in our lives right now, you know, is enough to just, you know, cause people to just crawl under their covers and put the pillow over their head, you know, and mm-hmm. and try to shut the world out. But we can't, folks. We cannot. We have to stand up now. We have to speak out against these things that are happening. And, you know, and this bridge incident is just another incident in the things that, you know, that cause us to have, you know, to kind of go, hey, what the heck is going on? You know, I, for regular old Americans out there, you know, and I like to consider myself as a regular American, just a guy that grew up in a, you know, and was blessed and worked my tail off to get to the levels that I got to. You know, but I'm at the end of the day, I'm just a regular guy. And I look at things and I'm like, you know, I got a family, I got kids, I got grandkids, I got friends. You know, I like to go and have a good time. I like to go and drink, you know, drink a beer and BS. And I like to go, you know, kick back. I still try to surf when I can. I mean, but I would love to be able to do that, but I can't. I can't because I served this country. And from the time I was born on a military base. Mm-hmm. Okay. I've been around the military my whole life. I've been around service my whole life. My father's a retired sergeant, World War II and Korea War veteran. I mean, this is my life. This is what I actually, you know what? I actually enjoy doing this because I feel like I am able to bring some sanity
right.
to some of this madness, because I want people to understand that we do have good leaders in this country. We do have people that know what they're doing. They're going to try to keep us from being able to step into these roles, you know, in time. They really are working hard. We're working overtime to keep. I mean, look at what they're doing to Trump. Jesus.
Oh, yes.
I mean, and like I just said, there's going to be they're still attack me because they don't want to think for a second that Mike Flynn, God forbid, might be back in government at some point in time. And guess what, folks? Yes, will I hold you accountable? So if you're listening right now, as I know we're live, yes, you must be held accountable. Why? Because you did things to people and to our country that deserve accountability. You deserve to be held accountable for the craziness that you have put our country through. And we cannot continue to go forward unless we take some of these actions that have been, you know, thrust down our throats.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the Russiagate, The whole entire Mueller investigation, that alone still demands accountability.
Yes.
That alone, never mind all this other stuff. So anyway, I appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So I think it's safe to say that the underlying cause for the deep state working to destroy you first before they work to destroy Trump is because you would have been something like a skeleton key for President Trump in Washington, D.C. You knew where, like you said, you know where the bodies are buried. You know how things work. You would have essentially been there to lead him in all of the proper directions. You could have given the information about how to restructure the government, you know, where to go, where to look, what we could shut down, what we could continue to fund. And obviously that was a threat to Barack Obama, perhaps Joe Biden with his various extracurricular activities in Romania and Ukraine and Mexico, et cetera, et cetera. So now that we are approaching November 2024, and I think that you're right. I think every single one of us needs to get out there and vote. I have a lot of hope in the American people coming together, because I think that most people are able to understand now what's going on in Washington, D.C., because the actions of the Biden regime are so overt. People see this. They know that it is unsustainable. We cannot continue along this path. They think back to their time during President Trump's first 4 years in office, and they say at the very least, you know, gas wasn't out of control. I could buy a dozen eggs for $2 and a gallon of milk wasn't $8. So just based upon those simple things, President Trump has to come back. The RNC, now under the control of President Trump, essentially, because we've got Laura Trump and Michael Whatley running it. They have dozens and dozens of cases all across the United States working to clean up the voter rolls, stop universal mail-in ballots, get the drop boxes off the streets. I think those efforts are also going to go a long way towards helping us to have a free and fair election come November. But once President Trump is reelected, where do you believe – and I don't want you to give away too much. I don't want you to, you know, blow up your spot. But where do you believe you would have the most success? Where would you be the most effective in a Trump 2.0 administration?
Yeah. So you know, those are a couple of assumptions that you just highlighted. So,
yes.
I will say that these are assumptions and this is sort of a hypothetical case.
Mm-hmm.
I think a one word answer to this question is people. People. Okay. People. That's the one word answer I'd give you.
Okay.
Where can I be most effective? People. And people matter most. And as we have all seen, the people that the Republican Party put around President Trump, because I wasn't a Republican. I wasn't even a Republican
mm-hmm.
when I went into work for him. So the people that the Republican Party brought around Donald J. Trump, President Donald J. Trump, were some of the worst people. And so, you know, I know that he's learned his lesson on that. I mean, we all have, the whole country has. So people. And I think that's where if I can help at all, that's where I would really want to help too. When it comes to people and, cause we have to have leaders. That's another word that I'll use. We've got to have leaders who are effective and know what they're doing and are bold enough to take those kinds of steps that need to be taken. So anyway, you know, one of the things that does come out in this movie, I do talk about people. Okay. And in a way that I think people are going to be surprised at what they hear about some of the people that I do talk about. I think some of the people that I do talk about, they're going to be surprised when they hear about the movie, because some of these people won't go see it. You know,
sure.
They'll go, I'm going to go see Flynn's movie. It's, you know, why do I got to go see Flynn? When somebody's going to go, well, you better go see it because he just talked about you, you know? and so, you know, that's why, you know, I'm teasing a little bit about the movie, because this film is a really important film right now. And this film will be a film that people will talk about 50 years from now, because when people look back in history and they go, Jesus, what happened? Where do I find out what happened? They're going to go, watch this film. This is a raw story of emotion, of persecution, of resurrection, inspiration, of as honest as a family, as an entire family can be. You, Zach, and your audience and everybody else that watches it are going to be brought into a real intimate part of the Flynn family to understand the emotions that we were going through, as well as me talking about our government and how we got to where we are. Very, very important components there. And so, so people can go to flynnmovie.com, pre-order the DVDs on the DVDs, because I do want to say that on the DVDs and only on the DVDs are going to be bonus material, because Tucker Carlson's in this, Devin Nunez is in this, members of my family. There's bonus material on the DVDs that will only be found on the DVDs, and the bonus material is exceptional. And it'll give even more insight. Talk about history. I mean, this is a massive, massive film about a historical, monumental, consequential vignette that damn near destroyed our country, and almost destroyed a president of the United States. Without the strength that Trump was able to maintain while he was president, and then now everybody sees how strong this man is and how much fiber. He's just not a quitter. I'm not a quitter. I've had my moments, and life is tough. Life is difficult, but we can't quit on this country. And that's why I love Donald Trump. Yeah, early on when we first met, because I saw a man that loved America. And that's very clear in everything that's happening to him now. Well, whether you like the way he calls, names people or whatever, that's too bad. You don't come from the streets, right? You must come from some, muckety muck position wherever. And, my mom used to say, I'd come into the house after, whining as a little kid. My mom used to say, sticks and stones will break your bones, but names will never hurt you. Get back outside and play in the street. That's not my problem, kid. Actually, my mom would say that, yeah. Right? I'm one of nine kids. So anyway, thanks very much for having me, Zach. And absolutely. I'll come back on, again. And maybe while we're on the road on our, we have a 35 city tour coming up. The first in-person live premiere experience is right here in Venice, Florida, on the 5th of April. And we're going to hit 35 cities in about 55 days. I'll be at every single one. It's going to be exhausting, but it's absolutely necessary to get this message out.
Well, I'm over here on the East Coast. I'm actually going to be at the Venice event with Ivan. So I look forward to meeting you in person. We've actually done a couple of events together before, but people are always swarming you like a celebrity, and I never wanted to be that guy. So maybe we can get a chance to do an in-person interview as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks for doing this. I really appreciate it. And for everybody out there, pay attention to what's going on. Don't get distracted by the noise. Absolutely. Focus on what's important. Okay. That's the kinds of things that only each of us can do in our own way, right? Don't worry about what Mike Flynn's doing. Don't worry about what Donald Trump is doing. You see those kinds of things. Worry about what you're doing and do those things really well, whether it's taking care of your family, whether it's, participating in your community, whether it's volunteering for something. Focus on what you can do. Control what you can control. Don't worry about what other, don't worry about those things that you cannot control. Like guys like me, right? I mean, I know what I can do and I know what I'm doing. And it's important right now that we all speak out and with a unified voice about what's happening to our country.
I agree. General, would you mind if I just go through a couple of these donations on Rumble real quick before you bounce off? Okay. Andy Pearson said, General, this administration sees no terrorist events. Warrior Mima says, I hope Trump puts Lieutenant General Flynn in a position to clean all three-letter agencies out. I'm hoping that we can clear out virtually the entirety of the federal government because it's the largest employer in the United States at this point. Very, very
I'm
bloated.
I'm from the school of President Milei down in Argentina.
I love it. Yeah. let's see. The real JJ14, thank you for joining as a monthly supporter. He also says, so I know I'm not hearing things. Is General Flynn suggesting Israel is capable of something like this because the U.S. didn't veto a ceasefire vote?
No.
Okay. All right.
Not at all. Don't leap. Don't jump there at all. The U.S. just abstained from a vote in the United Nations against Israel, basically telling Israel that we don't support you. And so now Israel is in a position where they're going to have to go for survival instead of just, you know, security. It's different. It's a different way of thinking. They're not, that is not tied to what just happened in Baltimore Harbor.
Okay. Okay. Rusty Koala says, General Flynn, in all honesty, how many invaders have actually walked into our country, do you think? 20 million military age men? This is obviously a very difficult question because we know how many have had contact with federal authorities. Clearly the ones who haven't, I mean, it's a crapshoot.
You know, it is a crapshoot. I mean, I do know that the reports from our own Homeland Security is we got over 100,000 military age men that are Chinese from China.
Yep.
I mean, never mind the prisoners that were released from Venezuela, the insane asylums from some of these other countries. I mean, The number of terrorists, known terrorists that have come into our country that our government has reported on, And they just keep letting them go. So I got a call yesterday from a friend. They arrested a guy again, and he's got like 43. He's been arrested like 43 times.
Yeah.
And they, what did they do the next day? They released this guy.
It's insanity.
I mean, our government right now is nuts the way that we're dealing with this illegal invasion.
I mean, it's almost like they're looking to create the greatest number of problems so that we can have this sort of, like just groundswell explosion here in the United States. Andre, who is a recently retired Marine, he says, thank you for your time, General Flynn. Thank you as well. Cameron Moore says, thank you, General Flynn, for your service to our country. Just Duckies said, God bless you both. Filter Dog One, refreshing truths. Thank you to Sean Joe. Filter Dog also says, Zach, did you ask Flynn about the Victoria Nuland and the concert attack? We did speak on that just a little briefly, but did you have any further comments on that? I mean, Victoria Nuland just left.
So what I would ask you to do there to that person, go back through my ex posts, okay? At Jen Flynn, G-E-N Flynn, at Jen Flynn. Go back down a few and you'll see what I said about Victoria Nuland, okay?
Okay.
And I actually call her out for her really offensive remarks.
All right. And then final thank you to PQuest. So, General Flynn, that's all. Again, thank you very much. And I look forward to having you back again sometime in the future. And hopefully we can do an in-person interview on the 5th in Venice. That would be
absolutely
awesome.
Yeah, let's try to do that, Zach. And thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you, sir.
And for all the folks that support you, keep supporting Zach because we need his voice out there. So God bless.
God bless you, sir. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next time.
Yep.
Bye-bye. All right, ladies and gentlemen, pretty freaking sweet. Thank you so much. I think that went really, really well. I have always wanted to interview General Flynn. And when the opportunity finally came up, we've actually been trying to make this happen for a couple of months. But it was difficult because he was making the documentary. And then I guess I don't know if he realized it or not, but they told me before I got on, and Ivan mentioned this yesterday, the documentary largely was made because of that. Well, it was the catalyst for the making of the documentary because General Flynn's, I guess his number one guy, saw that interview that I did with Ivan Raiklin back at the Mike Lindell Summit a couple of years ago, and he was just blown away. And so he sent the interview to General Flynn and he said, look at this. We've got to do this movie. We've got to put the truth out there. And General Flynn agreed to it because he thought that the interview really lined up everything that happened. And he knew that he could put in a lot more context. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You guys are awesome. I really appreciate it. Hope you guys had a good time. We are actually going to just dive right into a regular episode of Red Pill News. So if you were only here for General Flynn, I hope that you'll stick around so that we can talk about all of these things that happened. There's even more to that weird stuff that happened at the bridge, and we definitely will get into that. For some reason, my chats are not working on screen, so let me go ahead and throw those up here so that you guys can see what you're saying out there in the chat. Let me pop up the foxhole here. And Hild, there we go. Okay. Excellent. Excellent. But yes, I wanted to interview General Flynn for years. I didn't even tell him, but obviously, you know, I mean, considering his digital soldier speech, I mean, that was another influence in my getting started here doing this show. Yes, nobody is pro Hamas. No, you're right. But plenty of people do think that Israel are acting in a criminal manner. Not the Jewish people, but the Israeli government. It would probably be the Israeli deep state, I guess, if you want to get real specific. Okay. This show needs more vaping. Okay. Well, I actually was too focused on what General Flynn was saying to even think about vaping. I definitely need some. Leanne 63 says, so happy, Zach. Well deserved. Thank you very much. Jim Kyle, Zach, where did the black smoke come from when the tanker hit the bridge? So there. Okay. Well, we're going to go ahead and look at the video. So I've actually got a couple of different angles. But so obviously there was a massive bridge collapse in Baltimore. This bridge, known as the Key Bridge, is particularly notable because it was named after Francis Scott Key. Now, Francis Scott Key is the guy who wrote the poem that became the Star Spangled Banner. We'll get into that in just a moment. But this bridge in Baltimore is really crucial because there is only a couple of ways to get into the city, go across this waterway. And there are two tunnels. There is this bridge. And then there is another highway that goes around. So Baltimore happens to be a major pass-through for hazardous materials, and they have to use this bridge to do it. It also carries commuter traffic and allows people to get back and forth in a quick manner. Now, when the bridge was struck, it was the middle of the night, 1:28 a.m., and you know, I think I actually read that this day was the anniversary of the publishing of the first book by Francis Scott Key also, which is, I don't know, perhaps a strange coincidence. But there were at least 20 vehicles that went into the water when this bridge got struck. Now, you can see here from these still pictures, the black smoke, I believe, was coming from the smokestack on the ship itself because there was, well, I mean, you can see in the video there's a power failure. You can see here in these two still images, there are no lights on the ship, and that's not the way it's supposed to go. There is electricity on the ship. There is, I believe, a diesel engine, but it has to work hand in hand with that electricity. So this bridge being taken out is going to be a massive, massive hit to the economy, not only here in Baltimore, but around the country. It's also going to be a massive hit to the people who live in this area and who require this bridge on a daily basis to go back and forth from home to work. And Braddy says, high schools in four counties in the state of Michigan will not release their craft show applications for November 9th, 2024. Do the school boards know something that we don't know? Very curious. Craft show applications. I'm not certain exactly what that means, N. Braddy. If you want to put something else in there, help me figure that out. Shafara 2023 is now a monthly supporter. Thank you, thank you, thank you. American Worker says, excellent interview. Why do you think General Flynn is making this massive communications push at this particular time, Harbinger? It's specifically about the release of the film. You know, I've been trying to get him on the show for a long time. And I want to say maybe a year and a half ago, I finally got to meet somebody who actually worked on his team. And at that time, you know, I mean, like, number one, I've always got people who want to come on the show. So, and I only do the interviews normally on the weekends. So I was, you know, working to get a slot for General Flynn. And then, you know, he doesn't do interviews after a certain time. And I was like, okay, well, I'll be willing to do it earlier in the day, anything to get him on the show. And then because of the filming of the documentary, it was like we kept getting moved around and pushed around. And then at a certain point, I lost contact with him because I was like, you know what, I'm just going to wait until the movie's done. And then I know his schedule is going to be freed up and it would just be easier for me. So that's exactly what I did. And Ivan put me in touch with his assistant, Melissa. And Melissa and I got it scheduled in one day. And here we are. So, yes, this communications push is specifically relevant to the release of this film. But I think that also the film was timed to coincide with this particular moment right before the election. So people would see this, understand, and then use that when they go to the voting booth. Vegas Deplorable 26, retired Army Staff Sergeant here. Awesome interview. God bless, General. Salute. Thank you so much. And thank you for your service, Vegas Deplorable. All right. 1 second while I take a hit. All right. So this, let's go ahead and watch the video here of what happened. So this is a vessel, as General Flynn said, that was flown under a Singaporean flag. It was being the captains for the boat were actually accompanied by some employees of this port that are specifically trained on how to get around these obstacles here. So if it were not for the fact that the power went out, this collapse and the crash wouldn't have happened. Let me take you. Hold on. So let me make this as large as possible so that we can see this. Okay. All right. That should be good right there. All right. So when the video starts, you can see that the power is already out. It comes on again momentarily. And when they do, that's when a ton of black smoke comes billowing out of the top. Take a look here. So the lights are out. The boat is just drifting at this point. The lights come on. Black smoke comes pouring out. I believe he's trying to rev the engine in reverse because he sees that they're going straight for this pylon. Then the power goes out again. The boat is drifting, and he just goes dead on into the middle. Now, this bridge collapses because there are no longer supports in the middle. The boat itself was torn. I've actually got a video of it in the water afterwards. Now, I want you to notice another thing. Do you see this light over here on the bridge? There is power on the bridge itself. That means that there are power lines that are spanning the length of the bridge. I've seen people speculating that there were perhaps incendiary charges on this bridge and that perhaps they aided in the collapse of the bridge. But what I think you see when the bridge goes down, you see these pops. I believe that that is going to be the electrical lines being severed and a discharge of power because you don't see a concussive blast. You don't see any smoke coming from that. The only place that I see smoke in this video is coming from the ship itself. Now, that's not to say that this is not an orchestrated event. I just don't think that it's happening in that manner. Okay, so now the lights come on again and it's too late. You can't stop the boat. Now watch. Boom, boom, boom. There was a couple of flashes that took place at key intervals where power is going to be on it, okay? And right there, you just saw one. There is a look to when a power line goes down, and it's like this, like, sparks that come flying out. So let me go back. And over here on the very far left, the same sort of thing happens, but it's most visible right there in the middle when the bridge breaks in two. I don't even know if you guys can see it. Let me get as close as I possibly can. Yeah, right there. You can see it going down. And when that happens, there were cars on the bridge. The water was about 47 degrees, pretty cold. From what I understand, several people are dead. That number may have changed since the last time we saw. I'm not sure if that's only people who are on the bridge or if that was people on the boat as well. But the fact that it lost power twice, here is that video that I promised you, which shows the boat in the water. Let's go ahead and take a look at that. It's the Dali, like Salvador Dali. And the boat is literally torn asunder. Now, there's damage here because the trusses fell on the cargo vessel. They had their anchor out because they were trying to stop. And they had their engines in full reverse, and that's why it started to list in that one direction. I don't know that once the power went out, I think they were screwed. But look, you know, that steel girder just came right down through the ship. Looks like there's some containers in the water. All right, so now all of this is to say, again, I think it's highly likely, you know, considering everything we talk about here on the show, considering everything that General Flynn mentioned there, considering the fact that Russia has now just officially blamed the United States and Ukraine for the terrorist attack that took place at the concert hall over the weekend, I would be surprised if this wasn't some sort of a sophisticated attack on U.S. infrastructure. Because, again, listen to this. As I said to General Flynn, the special agent in charge of the new Baltimore field office, his name is William J. Del Bagno. He took office yesterday. He was sworn in yesterday, like 12 hours before this event actually happened. And for anyone in Baltimore to say that this isn't a terrorist attack, I mean, at best, they used the word collapse so it didn't just crumble. I mean, you know, collapse, crumble. I mean, crumble, I think to me that invokes like a brick building falling apart, you know, but I mean, collapse, I mean, it came down because there was no support right there in the center. But Christopher Wray swore in William J. Del Bagno as special agent in charge of the Baltimore field office yesterday. I mean, he barely has moved into his office. So for he and others to say that this isn't a terrorist attack, they really don't know. They really don't know. Why did the boat lose power? I've got White Hat looking into it right now to see if he can figure out anything else for me. But Laura Logan, she is a journalist that I know and respect, and she said that she's got multiple intel sources. So these would be people within the intelligence community. And she says, absolutely, this bridge collapse was a brilliant strategic attack. It doesn't need to be an attack, you know, that kills a whole ton of people for it to be a strategic attack on the United States. Because, again, this is a major economic hub. This is a hub specifically for hazardous materials, volatiles, all right? It's in Baltimore. Remember, oh, let me also show you, William J. Del Bagno, he has a specialization in, where is it? In weapons of mass destruction. He was serving on the Hazardous Evidence Response Team and became a certified Weapons of Mass Destruction Coordinator. He became Assistant Section Chief to the WMD Investigations and Operations Section in 2014. Baltimore was the location of the Sum of All Fears, which was a story that had a dirty bomb going off there. That would be weapons of mass destruction and hazardous materials. Now, all those hazardous materials that were going across the bridge are now going to have to, like, go right through Baltimore. Or, you know, they're certainly not going to go through the tunnels that go under that body of water. They're not going to be able to go on any other bridge because that was the bridge. They're going to have to go, like, through Baltimore or around Baltimore. If this bridge was an attack, a strategic attack designed to cripple the United States in an economic way, and also to divert hazardous materials or weapons of mass destruction or material that could be used as a weapon of mass destruction, it's now going to be perfectly placed to be in a position so that it could be used to cause the maximum number of deaths, should that be the plan of someone looking to do so. So getting back to Laura Logan's specific intel. She said that it's most likely a cyber attack. Now, thinking back to the video itself, the ship lost power twice. I'm not exactly certain on what type of electronics that ship has. Clearly, these newer vessels are going to have a lot of technologically advanced stuff. They're going to have systems that are designed specifically for it. Is it like our election materials and machines, where it's not supposed to have access to outside connections, or are they designed specifically to have access to outside connections? Do they pull up in port and some sort of Wi-Fi interface is able to tell that this ship is, you know, barge number XXXX, and they're flown under a Singaporean flag and they have, you know, X, Y, and Z on the vessel? Or do they have to go in and do all that stuff automatically? I think it's more likely that this is going to, or they're going to have to do it manually. I think it's more likely that it would be an automatic process. And yeah, likely there are going to be computer systems on board that probably somebody can access from afar. We just learned not that long ago that the intelligence community here in the United States built a backdoor into every single Mac device. I'm using a Mac right now. They likely already have the exact same thing on all Windows devices. We know they have it on iPhones. They have it on Androids. So quite literally, anybody with the knowledge and the wherewithal could get into any computer system anywhere on the planet and shut it down or make it act in a funky way. But this is the second busiest strategic roadway in the nation, specifically for hazardous material. So now this vital roadway, this artery that carries hazardous material, is going to be down for 4 to 5 years. That's 4 to 5 years of exposure for Baltimore and the surrounding areas. This is how long they say it's going to take for the bridge to rebuild, for the recovery to take place. This bridge was built specifically to remove that hazardous material, fuel, diesel, propane gas, nitrogen, highly flammable materials, chemicals, and oversized cargo that cannot fit into the tunnels. So that supply chain, as Lara says, is completely crippled. This is an extraordinary attack, she says, in terms of planning, timing, and execution. The two critical components on that bridge are the two load-bearing pylons on each end closest to the shore. Those are bigger, thicker, and deeper than anything else. If you're not going to be able to take those out, those are very, very strong. Those are the anchor points. And anybody who would be planning an attack would know that it would not make sense to hit either of those two load-bearing pylons on the end. That would likely be fatal to anybody doing so. However, it would wound the integrity of the bridge. It would not bring it down in the way that it had. Half a mile of bridge went into the water, into the river. So likely they're going to have to build a brand new one. It also caused so much damage to the structural integrity of the bottom concrete part that you cannot see, and they won't know until they take the wreckage apart, that structural destruction is likely absolute. There's so much damage below the waterline, where there are likely pylons going into the riverbed, that this bridge is going to have to be totally demolished. They're going to have to start from scratch. It's likely going to be very, very costly. And of course, who's going to fund that? It's not going to be the city of Baltimore. It's probably going to be the United States government. So if it's an attack, it was perfectly targeted. They have figured out how to bring us down. As long as you stay away from the teeth of the U.S. military, you can pick the U.S. apart. We are arrogant and ignorant, lethal combination. Obama said they would fundamentally change America, and they did. We are in a free fall ride on a roller coaster now. No brakes, just picking up speed. All gas, no brakes. So the footage that we just watched showed the cargo ship never even got into the approach lane in the channel. You have to be in the channel before you get into that turn. Location was precise and deliberate. Choose a bend in the river where you have to slow down and commit yourself. Once you're committed in that area, there is not enough room to maneuver. Let me also tell you this. Looking at that video, considering the fact that the people driving that ship are specifically trained to drive in those channels, if it hadn't been for the fact that he had thrown it into reverse to stop himself, then he would have just continued out straight into that channel and he could have gone through the middle of that channel, completely avoiding that pylon that he ended up hitting. Instead, they had power back, they hit the full reverse, and that forced the ship to go straight into that structure in the center. I do believe that this was avoidable, and considering the people who were actually behind the wheel of that ship, it's pretty unlikely that they wouldn't have realized what they were going to do. All they had to do was just go continue straight forward, you know, turn it, starboard? I don't know what ship language is. Turn that wheel to the right, and then you'd be able to coast right on through. I think that they deliberately hit it in the way that they did. And if the people driving the ship weren't the ones who threw it into reverse and allowed for it to careen directly into that pylon, then whoever took over the boat remotely is the one who went ahead and did it. Should have had a harbor pilot to pilot the boat. This is another thing. Generally, they have like a tugboat that pulls these things out into the lane where they're supposed to go. There is no explanation as to why there was no harbor pilot with this particular boat. You are not supposed to traverse any obstacles without the harbor pilot. I have a friend who is a tugboat captain, and he works on the Mississippi River. I'm certain that he's going to have some thoughts on this. I'm going to be speaking with him later tonight. Also, last night, it was a full moon. I think it was a lunar eclipse, if I'm not mistaken. So they chose the full moon, so they would have maximum tidal shift, rise and fall. Brisk flow in that river on a normal day and have a lot of rain recently, so water was already moving along at a good pace. That would give them some level of plausible deniability, guys. Hit it with enough kinetic energy to knock the load-bearing pylon out from under the highway, which fatally weakens the span, and then 50% of that bridge falls into the water. All of these factors when you look at it, Laura says. This is how you teach people how to do this type of attack, and there are so few people in the system who know this. We have a junior varsity team on the field right now. Tremendous navigational obstruction, huge logistical nightmare to clean this up. The number of dead is tragic, but not the whole measure of the attack. That kind of bridge, constantly under repair, always at night because there's so much traffic during the day, they can't obstruct it. So the concern is for repair guys who were on foot out of their vehicles working who might now be in the water, 48 degrees at that time of year. When you choke off Baltimore, you have cut the main north-south hazardous corridor I-95 in half. Now everyone has to go around the city or go someplace else. To move some of that cargo through that tunnel, you may be able to get a permit, but those are going to be slow to get, and they're going to require an escort system, and that is expensive, and it all has to be done at night. For every $100 that goes into that city, $12 comes from shipping. Believe, this will cripple the city of Baltimore at a time when they do not have the resources to recover. From what I understand, this is also pretty much the Mason-Dixon line. You know, another bit of symbolism for those who may wish to inject it into that system. So people are already saying that the Francis Scott Key Bridge reconstruction should be paid for by the federal government. This is actually coming from Joseph Robinette Biden. Let's go ahead and hear what Biden says about this bridge collapse.
It's my intention that federal government will pay for the entire cost of reconstructing that bridge. And I expect the Congress to support my effort. This is going to take some time. The people of Baltimore can count on us, though, to stick with them at every step of the way until the port is reopened and the bridge is rebuilt. You know, we're not leaving until this job gets done. Not leaving until then. So I just want to say God bless everybody who everyone harmed this morning and their families. And may God bless the first responders, many of whom risking their lives. And the reason I'm not going to take a lot of questions, there's remaining issues that are open that we got to determine what's going to happen in terms of the rescue mission and the like. But
Do you plan to go to Baltimore, sir? And if so, how quickly?
I do, and as quickly as I can.
You said the federal government's also going to pay for the repairs. I'm just curious. This was a ship that appears to be at fault. Is there any reason to believe that the company behind the ship should be held responsible? And then also,
But we're not going to wait for that to happen. We're going to pay for it to get the bridge rebuilt and opened.
So I saw somebody in the chat say that 72-hour rule before we start laying blame. Absolutely. I am not calling out any one state actor or any specific individuals for this particular event. I think that at some point we will likely be able to do so. But as of right now, I think it's far too early. And frankly, the United States has too many enemies. This doesn't necessarily have to be a outside party or another country. This could just as likely be someone or a group of people within the federal government or the Biden regime. If they're looking for an excuse to stir things up in America and perhaps get us to a point where we are so disorganized that we simply can't have an election, well, I think they might have just taken the first step, but we won't know that for some time. So let me say also thank you to Siesta Randy. Randy says, thank you, Zach, for all the real news you provide. Great job today. Thank you so much, Randy. Let's see, Jim Kyle, why wasn't a tugboat attached to this tanker? Yeah, that's an excellent question. Exactly what we said. Jimmy Bend, Oregon says Trump could have had the bridge built in 1 year. Leave it up to the blue state and it'll take at least 5 years. Oh, absolutely, because they're going to have to milk as much money out of this as possible. Sucking on the teat of Lady Liberty, so to speak. So I think that there really is no way that we can at this point determine who caused this this collapse of this bridge to happen. Certainly, if with the loss of power, it leaves a level of plausible deniability for the people actually piloting that boat. But somebody is going to have to answer for the fact of why there was no tugboat, why nobody was leading them. That's probably one of the most important questions. Considering the fact that the United States government and the FBI in Baltimore have already said have already said that this is not a terrorist attack or this is not an attack at all. That's definitely a question I don't think that they're going to be looking to answer anytime soon. They're just going to go ahead and eat it and put it on the backs of the American taxpayer. At the very least, guys, this is an attack on us because that money is going to be coming from us. There's a reason they hired all those brand new IRS agents. I mean, they're going to be looking to get their money's worth from those people. So this is another interesting thing. Joe Biden said that he rode the train across the bridge on many occasions. But again, this was a highway. There was no train that went over the Francis Scott Key Bridge.
At about 1:30, a container ship struck the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which I've been over many, many times commuting from the state of Delaware, either a train or by car.
Might have done it by car, but there is no train that goes across there. So I'm also going to be looking to see what Laura Logan's follow-up is on this, if anybody is willing to come forward. Clearly, she had at least one quote from one of those intel sources. Now, you know, certainly it is a question worth asking. And I go back to what General Flynn said. There is no way for them to say at this point that it wasn't an attack. There has been no investigation. This is just like another one of those instances of, you know, hey, you know, don't look over here. It's like a magician, you know, misdirect. You look over here while I'm using my hand over here to grab up underneath your shirt. Now, the other weird things about this, Francis Scott Key. So he wrote the poem during the War of 1812, when he witnessed a 25-hour British bombardment of Fort McHenry. And, you know the lyrics to this. In the rocket's red glare, the bomb bursting in air gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Now, initially, it was written as the defense of Fort McHenry, but then it was set to music of the, of course, the British God Save the Queen or something like that. And now it is known as the Star Spangled Banner. And we sing it often every time there is a sporting event. There's a lot of odd things about this. And the best we can do at this point is pray for the people who fell into the water, pray for the people who have been rescued, pray for the people who haven't been found yet, and also pray that someone at some point demands accountability for the sort of just lawlessness that we have here in America at this point. Is Pete still on paternity leave? I think Pete's on call. I think he's working. You know, the first thing I thought this morning when I saw this was, well, thank God Joe Biden just got that infrastructure bill passed. The only thing is that none of that money is going to infrastructure. It's going to DEI initiatives, and it's, of course, going to Joe Biden's green initiatives. All right, so I just want to follow up on the news yesterday about Sean P. Diddy Combs' raids that took place in Miami and Los Angeles. I don't know that I talked about it on my show, but I talked about it with John on Baseless Conspiracies. So the investigators, the federal investigators who raided Sean Combs was Homeland Security Investigations. This is an arm of the Department of Homeland Security. Now, they focus specifically on human trafficking, but more specifically on transnational criminal organizations. That is their bag. Okay. They work with busting transnational criminal organizations that threaten national security. Kind of interesting, considering President Trump's executive order on targeting transnational criminal organizations. We thought at that time that it was specifically pointing to the deep state itself, and even more specifically, the organized child and human trafficking that was taking place. Puff Daddy, or P. Diddy, is in the midst of a human trafficking investigation. Potentially, it could be as benign as bringing illegals into the country to get free or reduced cost labor. Likely, based upon the claims that were made in that lawsuit that I read a couple of weeks ago on the air, it is specifically related to the sex trafficking of women, because Sean Combs was known to engage in that. This is specifically being labeled, per a source in the federal government, a criminal sex trafficking organization. And there is also the question of a murder investigation, which is also part of these raids that took place. Now, I had mentioned yesterday, perhaps Tupac will go ahead and get some justice now that P. Diddy is under investigation for both murder and human trafficking. And I found this explosive recording, which was actually submitted into evidence earlier this year, which implicates Puff Daddy in the assassination of Tupac Shakur. Now, in this report, it's a chilling 2.5 hour interview that was secretly recorded by the LAPD back in 2008, where Keith D., who was himself recently arrested for the murder of Tupac Shakur, he said in that interview that Puff Daddy offered him $1 million to assassinate Tupac Shakur. So now this evidence is being used against Keith D. Because the prosecutors in Los Angeles, they scrapped his proffer arrangement because he was bragging about being the guy who ended up shooting Tupac Shakur, and specifically talking about other people who were involved in it. So now, in the recording, Keith D. is heard laughing and joking with police about the fact that P. Diddy was involved in the killing of Tupac Shakur back in September of 1996 in Los Angeles. And Keith D. alleges that Diddy wanted to eliminate the competition. He wanted to target rival record bosses, Suge Knight, and then, of course, Tupac as well, because they were in the midst of this East Coast, West Coast rap war. Now, Compton Crips were initially alleged to have been given a $1 million reward. That was proposed by P. Diddy as well. And, of course, he has consistently denied any involvement in Tupac's shooting. Now, of course, P. Diddy was part of the East Coast contingent. That would be New York. The Homeland Security Investigations team who is doing this investigation are also based out of New York. Miami and Los Angeles are the locations of multiple homes that are owned by Sean P. Diddy Combs. Sean P. Diddy Combs and his private jet were also seen fleeing to Cape Verde, which I believe is in Antigua, or perhaps just close to Antigua. That's a Caribbean island that doesn't have an extradition agreement with the United States of America. However, the United States of America has been successful in getting a transnational criminal bosses from that area in the past. They did it with a Colombian drug lord. Now, in this recording, Keith D. boasts about growing close to Diddy through a mutual friend and a gangster by the name of Eric Zip Martin. He details how Sean Combs discussed his disdain for Suge Knight and allegedly expressed a desire to eliminate both Suge Knight and Tupac Shakur. The gang kingpin claims the assassination order was given privately, and Sean Combs had multiple conversations with him about killing both of them. Of course, Tupac was shot on the evening of September 7th, 1996, while driving to a club with Suge Knight. Despite Keith D's claims of his involvement, Diddy's alleged connection to the murder remains unproven. As of January, now we have this brand new investigation. I truly do believe that this is about a lot more than just a couple of women that Sean Combs might have drugged and raped at one time or another. I think that this is a transnational criminal organization that's involved in drug trafficking, human trafficking, weapons trafficking, plots of murder for hire. And I think that in the end, this likely will connect to everything having to do with Jeffrey Epstein. Interestingly enough, Prince Harry, who is the nephew of Prince Andrew, who is connected to the Jeffrey Epstein investigation has been named in the P. Diddy trafficking lawsuit, which is the same one that I read to you a couple of weeks ago. Diane says, great reporting today, Zach. Thank you so much, Diane. I appreciate you. So Prince Harry's name has now been brought up in multiple U.S. court filings that are related to this $30 million lawsuit, which claims that Sean Combs sexually abused both men and women and also participated in sex trafficking activities. Now, the raids on the homes are not specifically tied to this case yet, but it's likely that it could be a part of it as a result of the lawsuit being filed. So the person who claims in this lawsuit is a former record producer, or maybe a current record producer, by the name of Rodney Jones. Rodney Jones is the one who names Prince Harry as an affiliate of Sean Combs. Jones claims that Diddy used his affiliation with the young Prince Harry, along with other big name stars — this is exactly the same play that Jeffrey Epstein made — to give himself and his associates legitimacy while they threw these sex trafficking parties. The court documents do not name Harry as a defendant, only claiming that Sean and Harry had a close association. Very close association, in the same way that Prince Andrew and Jeffrey Epstein had a close association. Sean Combs appears to me to be the Jeffrey Epstein of the rap game at this point. Federal agents having raided the Los Angeles and Miami homes belonging to Sean Combs. Patty Lynn, thank you very much for the donation over on Ko-Fi. I appreciate it. Certainly, if they did find anything of note in these homes and they were there to get all electronic devices, they were probably going to be taking all guns. I'm sure that they were taking just about anything that they wanted. That will be made public eventually. And if and when Sean Combs is indicted, well, certainly the evidence that was discovered in these raids will make its way out into the public, but it will likely be quite some time because obviously they don't want to play, they don't want to overplay their hand. And they're also going to have to go through the actual act of getting Sean Combs back into the United States. That may prove difficult. We don't know what his net worth is. We don't know if he is going to remain on the run. Although technically at this point, he is not officially on the run. I don't think it's coincidental that he skipped town virtually as soon as his homes got raided. It's also possible that he may have gotten tipped off before the raids even took place, and which is why he left the country in the first place. But it does not escape me, the crazy coincidences that we have here in regards to this case and the Jeffrey Epstein case. Listen, guys, we have to take a break for the second half of the show. When we come back on the other side, we've got a lot more to discuss. So I'll see you in a second. Well, bad news. It sounds like the Fed has taken the punch bowl away from the party yet again because the stock market has been betting on March rate cuts, but not so fast because all three indexes just got pummeled on the news that rate cuts are off the table. Now, is this why JP Morgan and UBS are calling for a 23% drop in the S&P? Let me tell you something. This is the longest time we've ever had in history between recessions. And right now, that recession indicator is ringing off the hook. It's most severe alarm in that 40-year history. So either you think Bidenomics is working or you're buying gold. And since we all know Bidenomics isn't working, isn't it time you protected your retirement by getting gold? Right now, you can call the proud Americans of the Patriot Gold Group today and do it before it's too late. All you got to do is mention me, Zach Payne, and this show, Red Pill News, on Red Pill 78, and you will always get the best-in-class service from Patriots protecting Patriots. The Patriot Gold Group has the no-fee-for-life IRA, where your IRA or 401k can be in physical gold and silver, and you might be eligible for the no-fee-for-life IRA on qualifying rollovers. So give them a call today at 888-857-6092 and request your free investor guide today. Patriot Gold Group is a Consumer Affairs top-rated gold IRA dealer for 7 years in a row. Call them today at 888-857-6092. And when you support my sponsors, you support this channel. All right, we are back. So I do have this article here from the Miami Herald, which shows some pictures from the raid that at least took place down in Miami. Now, I saw someone in the chat say that they found a whole room full of dildos and lube, but I don't have any verification on that. It would not surprise me. I think that these people, certainly they did at Jeffrey Epstein's place. I know they found a bunch of sex toys there. It wouldn't surprise me if the same thing was true at either of any number of. I think there was actually two homes in Los Angeles and one in Miami, or maybe it was the other way around. But there was at least three residences that were actually breached. Actually, now that I think about it, I think it was down here in Miami because we have pictures of multiple gates. So these are some of the federal agents. You have local police. You have Homeland Security investigations. And looks like they were there for a very long time. They had a major presence there on the ground. And you can see here lots of people talking on the phones. They actually had to bust down these gates to get into the property. Looks like on the property itself, at least one of the properties, there were multiple buildings. So plenty of places for them to search. This looks like a beautiful modern style home. I'm partial to that look right there. And of course, it's got that unique Florida look up on top of the roof. Lots of individuals milling around, lots of dogs. Looks like maybe this guy might be one of the people just standing at the gate. Maybe he was running the show. We're not sure. Here is another gate. Yes, this is at on Star Island, one of the two mansions. Here is another one, view of a different broken gate. Obviously, they really wanted to get inside. And then this is the last thing. Look at this brand new Toyota Tacoma personal camper. I think this is so cool. They have seen recently some pictures of a brand new Toyota Land Cruiser that has like this 80s vibe that, oh, man, I would love to see one in person. But I just love these multicolor stripes. Thank you again to Diane. Thank you also to Johnny W. Is it possible for an individual content provider on Badlands get a person muted on all of Badlands Media, not just their own show? Great interview, even though some try to throw him under the bus. So if somebody on any of the shows like gets muted, like it's going to be for the whole channel, like there's no way to just mute somebody for an individual show. If for some reason you got muted on Badlands, I don't know why that would be, but I know that you can reach out and you can plead your case, maybe say, hey, I think I got accidentally muted. I would prefer that, if that happened to you guys, you reach out to them directly because I just don't have time to like make personal appeals for everybody. And I don't know any of the circumstances surrounding it. I make a point not to mute or not to block people here on the channel. The only time people get blocked is if they're bots. Or if they're showing up and they're telling me to suck a D or something like that, then I don't have time for you. There's no reason. You're not adding anything to the conversation. But the rules are different over there on Badlands. So I really can't speak to it. But if you did, you can go to the website. You can reach out and you can plead your case or say, hey, I accidentally got blocked. I think I'm not supposed to be blocked. I like you guys. Definitely check it out. But thank you very much for saying that you enjoyed the interview. Yeah, even though people try to throw him under the bus, I mean, I wanted to get to that right off the bat. You know, the idea, there's a reason that the Obama administration tried to destroy Flynn first before Trump even got to Washington, D.C. Does anybody out there think that now that Trump is poised to come back to Washington, D.C., that the former Obama administration or the Biden regime is comfortable with the idea of Flynn coming back to D.C. with him? I mean, don't you think that those same people who worked to destroy Flynn from the get-go would still be operating with that same intention in mind right now? Is it possible that they might be actively employing members of the so-called independent media, perhaps even without their knowledge, that perhaps people are being fed information that is total garbage and bullshit, and that they know that useful idiots who are getting paid to say this or that are going to be perfectly willing to throw somebody under the bus if they think that they got information telling them that that person's bad? I mean, honestly, for anybody out there who's saying that Flynn is a traitor or something like that, like, get your head out of your ass. Like, think about this. Or maybe a person isn't able to do so because they're not even a real person. Maybe they're a bot. Maybe they're an agent. And their whole goal is to come here and stir up some kind of bullshit and get form this sort of negative opinion around someone who has the power to send Donald Trump in the direction to fully destroy the deep state itself. That's why General Flynn had to be taken out, because he is a danger. He is an existential threat to the Washington, D.C. deep state power elite. So that's my opinion. You don't have to agree with me if you don't want to. Let me continue. And let me get Harry off the screen. So I saw this story earlier today. I guess it broke over the weekend, but the federal authorities, the FBI and the federal government, demanded that Google reveal the identities of some 30,000 YouTube viewers who watched a certain video. Now, I don't even know what the video is, because nobody is reporting on it. Nobody will tell you what it is. So I don't know if I'm on this list. Allegedly, it had something to do with Elon Musk. Now, all these people did was watch a YouTube video, and the feds want to know who the identities of those people are. This should scare the entirety of this audience, and it should tell you that the federal government has no problem reaching through the annals of the internet, removing any assumption of privacy, and looking into you as an individual solely based upon the content you consume. This is very, very frightening for our freedoms, for our privacy, and I will get into it. So it's not just they wanted to know the screen names. They wanted to know the names, the addresses, the telephone numbers, and all of the user activity for the some 30,000 accounts who watched a particular YouTube video between January 1st and January 8th of 2023. Now, we only found out about it because court documents were recently unsealed and reported on by Forbes. Now, there may be more information in the Forbes article, but they've got the entire article behind a paywall, and I'm not going to pay Forbes a damn thing to get this news. So people who watched this video while they weren't logged into an account were not safe either, because the government is asking for the IP addresses of the people who watched this video without having a YouTube account. Now, these investigators reportedly ordered Google to hand over this information as part of an investigation into someone who uses the name Elon Musk WHM online. What do they believe Elon Musk WHM did? Well, they say he's selling Bitcoin for cash, and as such, he's breaking money laundering laws, as well as running an unlicensed money transmitting business. I guess undercover agents reportedly sent the suspect, Elon Musk WHM, links to videos of YouTube tutorials for mapping video drones and augmented reality software in their conversations when they were speaking last January. In those videos, those videos, however, were not private and had been collectively viewed by over 30,000 individuals, which means the government was potentially asking Google for private information on a large number of individuals. So what they're trying to do is pinpoint the identity of Elon Musk WHM, because they know that they sent him links to these particular videos. And if they can figure out which one of those users is WHM based upon who it was that viewed these videos, well, then they can go ahead and prosecute him and arrest him. So there is reason to believe that these records would be relevant to a material and an ongoing investigation, including by providing identification information about the perpetrators. Now, Google has not admitted to handing this information over, but based on the documents that were seen by Forbes, the court actually granted the order, and then Google was asked to keep it under wraps. Now, since Google hasn't admitted to giving this information, we can't be sure whether or not the federal government has started looking into these people, but it's been over a year now. And I would suspect that Google complied fully with the request from the federal government. Generally speaking, they are quick to hand over this sort of information. So in another incident, authorities asked Google for a list of accounts that viewed and or interacted with 8 YouTube live streams. It's not just one video. It's a whole host of videos and then at least 8 other live streams. Cops requested that the information they were looking for after learning that they were being watched through a stream while they were searching an area following a report that an explosive was placed in a trash can. One of these video live streams was posted by the Boston and Maine Live account, which has over 130,000 subscribers. So that's quite the swath of individual accounts and IP addresses that the federal government may be looking into right now. Glenn M.S. says, forgive me if I'm wrong, but Bitcoin is a currency that can be converted to cash by anyone. That is correct, but generally speaking, that's done through an exchange. So it sounds like what Elon Musk WHM was doing was giving people Bitcoin in one form or another, and then they would give him cash directly, likely to circumvent the exchanges themselves. Perhaps he was sending people Bitcoin on a cold wallet that was on a USB drive. That way, people wouldn't have to pay fees on either end. They would get the Bitcoin. They would probably agree on a set cost, and then he would maybe ship it out to them. This is something that could be done through, like, the dark web, a black market exchange on the dark web. That would be illegal because it would be an unregulated transfer of security of some type or another. So Google told Forbes that the company follows a rigorous process to protect the privacy of its users. But a lot of people are saying that they're concerned about the government agencies that are looking into this case overstepping their power to obtain a sensitive information from people who just happened to be on YouTube and may have come across a video. Now, you guys know how the YouTube algorithm works. They suggest videos to people. If people were already looking at videos about Bitcoin or looking to do research on crypto, you may have accidentally come across this video and not even realized that it was the subject of a criminal investigation. Likely, all the people who watched it had no idea. So they say what we watch online can reveal – I'm sorry. The senior counsel at the Electronic Privacy Information Center named John Davison said this. What we watch online can reveal deeply sensitive information about us, our politics, our passions, our religious beliefs, and much more. It is fair to expect that law enforcement won't have access to that information without probable cause. This order turns that assumption on its head. So can you imagine if the federal government went to Rumble and said, we want to know every single person, the identities of every single person who watched a video by Zach Payne on Red Pill 78. This video right here, where he was talking about the Hunter Biden laptop, really pissed us off. And so we want to know every single person who looked at it. And then we're going to use that information to investigate them further. And perhaps now, under the current political climate, we're going to arrest them for thought crimes or for wrongthink. And here we go. So all the more reason that we need to make sure that we renew the United States of America, beginning with the election in November and, more importantly, in your personal lives at home. We need to do this on a local basis, so that we can protect our civil liberties, our rights, our freedoms. It's a scary, scary thing. Yes, thank you so much, Glenn. I appreciate it. And thank you again to Johnny. Thank you also to my friends over here at Pilled. Average Joe Patriot said, great interview, bro. I can't wait to see more of you and General Flynn. True Patriot. Appreciate you. I am really looking forward to it as well. Oh, it looks like actually there was quite a few more that I missed. So let me go through these. Sean Joe, thank you. ZR2anon, thank you for the shades. Sean Joe, thank you for the can. Just Duckies said General Flynn for VP. Michelle Ann, thank you for the can. Omazon said narrative was set, direct hit, and that narrative is still in effect. They are still working to try to destroy him. Liberty Bells says thank you, love and blessings. Phil Dog One says sweet General Flynn. Sean Joe dropped some shades. Thank you. Water Wizard dropped some shades as well. And then Just Duckies said, God bless the both of you for everything you do in this war. God is working through the both of you. I really, really appreciate that. And I am honored to hear it. Filter Dog One, refreshing truths. The rest of these I did read. So, I guess I missed Sean Joe. General Flynn is not enforcing the law. General Flynn is not enforcing the law, breaking the law. I don't understand what that means. Neo says, dope, you're awesome. Thank you, Neo. Sean Joe, thank you for the can and another can. Porpoiseful, thank you for the cookie. Boise Blanc, thank you for the cookie. Tomcat, thank you for the cookie. Thanks again, Average Joe Patriot. And thank you again to D. Dallid as well. Okay, so I brought you news yesterday that the once head of the RNC, Ronna Romney McDaniel, who was recently forced out by Donald Trump, had fulfilled the prophecy of Zach Payne and gotten a job at MSDNC. Well, now Donald Trump is not the only person with the distinction of getting Ronna Romney McDaniel fired from a job. It appears that after an on-air attack from Chuck Todd, Rachel Maddow, and others, Ronna Romney McDaniel is also being let go from MSDNC. That was a remarkably short stint in the world of mainstream media. I wonder if she's going to get a job anywhere else or if she's now going to be persona non grata because she was once the head of the RNC. You think these people would recognize that she was never working for us. She was always working for them. So Puck News says NBC News plans to drop ex-RNC chair Ronna McDaniel as a paid contributor following on-air revolt from MSNBC talent. Executives are deliberating over details awaiting pending announcement. Meanwhile, McDaniel is seeking legal representation. Let's see if there is okay, so here is the attack from Rachel Maddow. This woman is quite literally one of the most unhinged people on the planet. It's been a long time since I've watched a clip with Maddow.
And I will also say, you know, if you care what I think about this, I will tell you the fact that Ms. McDaniel is on the payroll at NBC News, to me, that is inexplicable. I mean, you wouldn't hire a wise guy. You wouldn't hire a made man like a mobster to work at a DA's office. Right? You wouldn't hire a pickpocket to work as a TSA screener. And so
would you hire a propagandist to head up a primetime television show on an alleged news program platform? Well, that's what they've done at MSDNC. That's what they do at CNN. All of these mainstream media organizations are merely hiring talking heads to act as conduits for government propaganda. And Rachel Maddow seems to be just a little bit strung up in the panties, if you will, because Ronna McDaniel ended up getting a job there. But it's neither here nor there because she's getting fired.
I find the decision to put her on the payroll inexplicable. And I hope they will reverse their decision. And it's not about, you know, Democratic Party, Republican Party. It's not about.
Wait, how is it? What is it? What is it about then? Because I was under the assumption that everything at MSDNC was explicitly political. You can't turn on these morons without getting some special messaging about what's happening in the world of politics. That's all Rachel Maddow talks about. I don't even know. I used to think before maybe she was just a paid idiot. And everything she says is just what she's told to say. But I honestly believe that she is so spectacularly out of touch. This is what she truly believes. She believes that Donald Trump is a criminal, and she believes that he ought to be put away forever.
Citizenship, it's not about right versus left. It's not about being a political professional versus some other kinds of person. It's not about being mean or nice to journalists. It's not about just being associated with Donald Trump and his time in the Republican Party. It's not even about lying or not lying. It's about our system of government and undermining elections and going after democracy.
She is engaging in one of the clearest, most transparent examples of projection right there. Because if MSDNC and the talking heads at the mainstream media networks were not engaging in election interference, in blatant lying, in propagandizing and brainwashing of the American people for decades, then I don't know what the hell they were doing. That's exactly what they were doing. Ronna Romney McDaniel, although she is not blameless, she was not engaging in the type of behavior that Rachel Maddow is identifying right now. Rachel Maddow is completely describing herself and the actions of all of her cohorts at this network
as an ongoing project, right? And this is a difficult time for us as a country.
She's so upset because Donald Trump just won his appeal yesterday. That's what this really is about. She and everybody else at MSDNC are hanging their heads in shame. They are so upset at the idea that Donald Trump is not going to be on the hook for $500 million. Let me give you another example of that. Look at this guy. This guy, also on MSDNC, is discussing Donald Trump's win in the appellate court.
This is so infuriating. I don't even know what. And I honestly, this is so infuriating. I don't even know what.
Come on.
I don't even know if I care what the process is that these judges are arriving at. Whatever it is, it's flawed. I can tell you that much. I mean, David put it well. This is a different process for this person. We have decided.
Well, I will give him that. This is a different process for Donald Trump, because the entirety of the deep state criminal apparatus has been working to destroy Donald Trump since the moment he walked into Washington, before he walked into Washington, D.C. General Flynn said himself, January 5th, 2017, that meeting in the Oval Office, when they essentially wargamed exactly how they were going to destroy Donald Trump and everybody who was close to him. And now that he left Washington, D.C., and the entirety of the deep state criminal DOJ and all of these local prosecutors have thrown everything but the kitchen sink at him, and it's failed to stick. He's crying. He's hanging his head in shame. He's crying into his beer at the prospect that Donald Trump is not ruined. And you know what? You've got a wrong think coming for you come November, because in November, we will be reelecting Donald Trump and sending him back to the White House so that he can fulfill the mandate, the reason we sent him there in 2016, because America does not need another do nothing business as usual politician. We've seen that. Time and time again, we have seen exactly what happens when Washington, D.C. operates business as usual, when MSDNC gets away with lying to the American people over and over and over again. Your credibility is shot. You have nothing. You have no power. You have no influence. You no longer have the monopoly on the flow of information. That, my friends, belongs to the people. That belongs to us. We citizen journalists. We digital soldiers, dare I say.
He gets his own private court of justice. He has a private plane. He has private clubs that he lives in. You know, apparently, you know, he basically fashioned himself his own private militia to try to.
So, okay, there was no freaking private militia on January 6th. Let me just say that first. Donald Trump earned everything that he has. That's more than I can say for your Ivy League pencil neck ass. Donald Trump is a successful businessman who brought together an empire, and he named it after himself. And then he made his decision to run for president, and he paid for it himself, along with the American people. He didn't need you. He didn't need your lobbyist friends. He didn't need to be bought by anybody, because nobody can buy him, because he was a self-made man. So if he has a private jet, good for him. If he owns a club in South Florida called Mar-a-Lago, good for him. He deserves everything he has. And what he doesn't deserve is the unfair treatment that you're pointing out, a different system of justice for Donald Trump, because he wanted to save America and he was willing to sacrifice everything to do it. Go home to mommy.
Over the Capitol, you know, now he's getting his own private system of justice. This is an absolute travesty. It would not happen for anybody else. Anybody else, it would be like, sorry, buddy, you lost. Pay up. For him, he gets his own set of rules.
That set of rules have been contorted and pushed directly at him. The entirety of the American system of justice has been perverted. That separate court of justice for Donald Trump is the same type of justice that has been levied at the American people time and time again. You, my friend, with your saggy eyes and your slicked back hair and your crying crocodile tears, you're the ones who have had a different system of justice. You're the ones who can basically do whatever you want because you're protected. You're protected by that system. Donald Trump isn't protected by that system. We, the people, are not protected by that system. But I'll tell you what, that system only exists because we, the people, decreed it. Our government has been run away, has been taken over by a set of criminal actors, a transnational criminal organization. And this saggy piece of work can't accept that we're going to be taking that government back, and that just a little bit of that criminal justice system is still operating under the rule of law. These judges on that appellate court, they made the right decision. They made the right decision, and Donald Trump is now going to be able to live to fight another day. He's going to be able to pay for his presidential campaign. Donald Trump said today that he will be proud, happily pay that $175 million bond. And he's still going to win. He's going to keep trucking right along, and he's going to do exactly what it takes to come back and save America right alongside all of us. So you can go ahead and eat a D. Keep crying. Keep crying, because it's not done. He's not done winning, and you're not done losing. Now, the judge that's overseeing the Stormy Daniels so-called hush money case has just hit Trump with another gag order. This is the far-left judge who's overseeing the crime that's not a crime in Alvin Bragg's court, where the indictment was poorly written and smokily enumerated. Judge Juan Merchan, he has ordered that Donald Trump refrain from making any public statements about witnesses and jurors in the Stormy Daniels case. Of course, the witnesses are the people who are going to be lying about Donald Trump on the stand. So all they want to do is make sure that Donald Trump can't defend himself in the public square. Trump must refrain from making public statements about likely witnesses and jurors in the case. He's also barred from speaking about lawyers in the case, court staff, employees in the Manhattan District Attorney's Office. So he can't say that Alvin Bragg is an unfair and completely inept prosecutor. Alvin Bragg, who refuses to charge criminals with crimes, who refuses to use the criminal justice system for its stated purpose, to contain the law and order of this land and enforce the laws that keep the American people safe. Instead, Alvin Bragg is the guy who charges innocent bystanders who use self-defense to stop themselves from being murdered by thugs in his New York City, charges them with murder, runs them off out of the country, destroys their businesses. So even though Judge Juan Merchan has levied a gag order against President Trump, not going to do a thing, because these people will not be successful. Donald Trump will prevail. The American people will stand at his side, and we will restore the United States of America. Now, breaking news, Julian Assange is not going to be extradited to the United States of America. The UK court ruled yesterday that he will not be extradited. However, this is perhaps a temporary stay of his ultimate suffering. They are requesting assurances from the United States around Julian Assange's First Amendment rights and that he would not receive the death penalty if by the United States for the leaking of the documents that WikiLeaks published. It's kind of strange. The Biden family gets to hold and release classified material to business associates and Chinese Communist Party members anytime they want, but of course not Julian Assange. No, Julian Assange committed the cardinal sin of damaging the Clintons and the Obamas, Obama's presidency and Clinton's hopes at becoming a president. And of course, he exposed the sick pedophilic tendencies of the very elites that encircle Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and the deep state actors who are still trying to destroy Donald Trump and those people that he will likely be working with in his second term in Washington, D.C. So the British court said Assange has a real prospect of success on three of the nine grounds of appeal that he and his lawyers have argued. Specifically, the court demanded the U.S. justice officials confirm he will be permitted to rely on the First Amendment of the United States Constitution because that permits freedom of speech, that he is not prejudiced at trial, which includes his sentence, by reason of his nationality, and that he is afforded the same First Amendment protections as a United States citizen, and most importantly, that the death penalty is not imposed. So the court said if the United States government is giving these assurances, and they're not given within the 3-week time frame, Assange will be granted leave to file a new appeal in the UK with further hearings and representations to be made by both parties. Mr. Assange will therefore not be extradited immediately. So a perhaps short stay of his leave to come back to the United States. We'll have to see what happens. All right. So let me see. We are approaching the 7 o'clock hour. So we've got just a couple of stories left. And let me first bring you news of Chesa Boudin. You may remember Chesa Boudin because back in 2022, he was ran out of the district attorney's office in San Francisco. He was voted out in a recall. Well, he's also notable because he was brought up by the terrorists, Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn. Both of his parents were sent to prison for terrorism because they were part of the Weather Underground with Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn. Likely, he also knew Barack Obama personally because Barack Obama was the personal liege, if you will. He was the protege of Bill Ayers. He has the distinction of being too far left on crime, even for the people of one of the most liberal cities in the country. After his ouster, he was hired by the law school at UC Berkeley. And during a press conference recently at the Berkeley School of Law, Boudin said crime victims don't have rights under the Constitution. He allegedly led a discussion on criminal justice issues at something called Justice Unveiled, debating crime and public safety. Former prosecutor Cully Stimson raised the issue of the progressive prosecutor movement, saying there's nothing progressive about the progressive prosecutor movement, at least as you define the word progressive. And then Stimson suggested the movement is dangerous, which it is, because it focuses entirely on criminal defendants and does nothing to cultivate public safety or to protect the victims of crime. Now, Stimson pressed the district attorney on the panel about their various philosophies. Chesa Boudin was just one of them. He said an offender-oriented approach to prosecution rests on the unstated and therefore unsubstantiated assumption that the perpetrators of crime stand on the same moral plane as their victims. Stimson then explained that protecting the vast majority of the community who do not commit crimes is a cornerstone of the social contract. So he asked, how do you, in your role as the district attorney, uphold your end of the social contract? Chesa Boudin answered by saying, that's a decision we make that separates us from every other civilized country in the world. It's a policy choice, and it really doesn't have to do with safety so much as the desire for vengeance and retribution with the history of racism in this country. It has absolutely nothing to do with that. And criminals, I might mention, are also not exclusively black, Hispanic, or Asian. Criminals come in all stripes. You can be any color of the rainbow and you can break the law. He suggested the progressive prosecutor movement isn't about putting defendants over victims. He said the Constitution created rights for criminal defendants, but it does not create rights for victims of crime. And he further stated that prosecutors are not asked to represent victims of crime, but all of the people of her jurisdictions, and focusing on victims disregards the Constitution. Absolute insanity. This is the type of people that these crazy left-wing radicals have pushed into the positions of government. These are the same people who were working with Barack Obama to destroy Donald Trump and the people surrounding him so that they could continue on with their ultimate plan to remake America in this communist image that we find ourselves virtually living in the shadow of today. Very, very scary stuff. Glad to say that Chesa Boudin is no longer in a position in San Francisco, but he is now educating people at the Berkeley School of Law, which might even be scarier because he may have a greater impact there, imprinting himself and his leftist ideals onto these people who are going to be leaving the School of Law and then entering into the legal system. Frightening stuff. All right. So briefly in the continuing discussion about the terror attack that took place this past weekend in Moscow, they have now said that there is a link in a series of attempts by the neo-Nazi Kiev regime to bring down Russia. So on the ground, Russian forces have behaved in a modified, more acute way after this false flag terror attack that ultimately was organized by Ukrainian channels and claimed the lives of hundreds of Moscow citizens. But Russian President Vladimir Putin on the world stage is allegedly playing a longer game. He's waiting for these investigations to conclude so that he can demonstrate a link as clear as possible. Now, yesterday, in a Kremlin meeting, Putin acknowledged that the attack was carried out by Islamic militants, but suggested it was also to the benefit of Ukraine and that Kiev may have played a role. I think that that is highly likely. Alexander Bastrykin, who is the head of Russia's investigative committee, said that the death toll has risen to 139 killed with 182 people wounded. Putin said on Telegram, "We know that the crime was carried out by the hand of radical Islamists with an ideology that the Muslim world has fought for centuries." He did not directly mention the Islamic State, although the Islamic State has put out a message saying that they're the ones who committed this act. He repeated his previous assertion that the assailants had been trying to flee to Ukraine, saying that there were many questions to be examined. This is absolutely what I expected from Putin. Appears to be very level-headed. As General Flynn said, we are in a situation right now where World War III is looming all over us. And for Putin and Russia to not immediately go out and blame a variety of different people, he is leaving this open to the ultimate end of this investigation so that he can say, hey, here's the evidence, in pretty much the same way they did when they exposed the biolabs, which were present in Ukraine at the start of the specialized military operation. The question that arises is who benefits from this? Cui bono? That is always the question. This atrocity may be just a link in a whole series of attempts by those who have been at war with our country since 2014 by the hands of the neo-Nazi Kiev regime. Now, don't forget, it's not just the Nord Stream pipeline. There was also that bridge that was bombed as well. We know by whose hand the crime against Russia and its people was committed. But what is of interest to us is who ordered it. Putin said the purpose of the attack was to sow panic, but as Russian forces were advancing through the Ukraine war theater, he said it could also be intended to show their own population that not all is lost for the Kiev regime. And meanwhile, both the U.S. and France push the ISIS story as hard as they can. There have actually been 11 people detained, not just the four shooters. That includes the four gunmen who were arrested as they made their way through the border into Ukraine. Putin, who declared over the weekend that the four attackers were arrested while trying to escape to Ukraine, said investigators hadn't determined who ordered the attack, but that it was necessary to find out why the terrorists, after committing their crime, tried to flee to Ukraine and who was waiting for them there. We are seeing that the U.S., through various channels, is trying to convince its satellites and other countries of the world that, according to their intelligence, there is allegedly no Kiev trace in the Moscow terror attack, that the bloody terrorist act was committed by followers of Islam, members of the Islamic State group. He added that those who support the Kiev regime don't want to be accomplices in terror and sponsors of terrorism, but many questions remain. Now, Dmitry Medvedev, who is the former president of Russia, he served from 2008 to 2012, and now he's the deputy head of the Security Council, which is chaired by Putin, called for the killing of everyone involved, everyone, those who paid, those who sympathized, those who helped, kill them all. And kill them all, I think they just may do. All right, so let us conclude there. Thank you to Boise Blanc for that cookie. Thank you to everybody who supported the show and came to hang out with us today. I will be back tomorrow at 5 p.m. right here for another episode of Red Pill News. And then I'll be back also tomorrow night at 9 p.m. For another episode of Altered State with my good friend Brad Getz over there on Badlands Media. Let me just pass out these gold pills. And then hopefully I will see you guys later. Until that time, good luck and God bless. We'll see you then. And let me just say, WS84, some people believe ISIS was CIA created. ISIS was created by the United States government. That's to be certain. And certainly the CIA would have had a part in that. If you'll remember, there is an auspicious clip of Barack Obama mentioning the training of our new ISIS soldiers or ISIL soldiers. And they were using ISIS to destabilize and overthrow the Syrian government, Bashar al-Assad. The United States, probably with other proxy actors throughout the world, definitely created ISIS. And that has been essentially the terrorist hand of the deep state ever since that time. So if ISIS claimed responsibility for this, then you might as well just say that the CIA and the deep state actually are the ones who did it. All right. We'll see you guys next time. Oh, Vatican Assassins Part 2 is next Monday on Baseless Conspiracies. So be there. Bye-bye. ISIL and ISIS are the same, okay? ISIL was the Islamic State of Iraq and Levant. That was what they were called first. And then they changed their name to the Islamic State of Iran and Iraq and Syria. So let me just prove that to you before we leave here. ISIL changed their name to ISIS. Is it ISIL or ISIS? The acronym ISIL is the more accurate name, but the group ISIS is the same. Name changes to the Islamic State. Here we go. The Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant, often abbreviated ISIL and pronounced as such, is a militant Islamic terrorist group. It is also known as the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, or the Islamic State of Iraq and al-Sham, abbreviated ISIS. ISIL and ISIS are the same. One and the same. When Barack Obama said we are training our ISIL forces, we are training our ISIS forces, because they hadn't changed their name yet. They're the exact same thing. We'll see you.